Content warning. Following episode contains themes that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. The Precinct Omega Weekly Miniatures News Podcast is brought to you by Zero Dark Sci-Fi Skirmish Gaming in a Fallen Earth. You can find Zero Dark from Wargame Vault. Just go to wargamevault.com and search for Zero Dark.
Welcome to the Precinct Omega Weekly Miniatures News. It was supposed to be Friday the 24th of July, but I am in fact recording on Sunday the 26th of July, so this is a bit of a last minute recording. Nevertheless, let's not hang around and get on with the news.
The news.
Battlefront has opened pre-orders for late war German Waffen SS and Fallschirmjäger box sets, as well as a full range of supporting vehicles and artillery. The SS Panther Kampfgruppe box set is $100. Limbo Division. Pre-orders are open for their new 75mm and 35mm Mistswarm and Lancelot minis. The 75mm Lancelot is $70 and Mistswarm is $40, whilst you can get the pair in 35mm for $70. Manufacturer Miniatures have released previews of new Dwarf Captives, with male and female options due to be released. No date or price has been given, but their minis tend to retail at $12 each. I mention all of these items of news with some reservations, though, because what links this week's news is that all of these items are what I would term problematic. To unpack what I mean by that, let's move straight to the discussion.
The discussion.
I was recently in that rarest of things, an online debate about a controversial subject in which all of the participants knew each other, lived near each other, and were likely to have to look one another in the eye at some point in the future. In fact, the main reason we were having the debate online was lockdown, and any other time it probably would have been a cup of tea and a slice of cake. The topic had nothing to do with miniatures, so I'm not going to go into detail, but the main point I had to make in it was that there are occasions when we may feel strongly about our opinion in a subject, but also have to recognise when our lived experience of that subject isn't enough to really justify the strength with which that opinion is held. There are some opinions we ought to hold lightly, to review with the receipt of new information, and to stay open-minded to learning from the experiences of those who live closer to the subject matter. Then there are opinions we can cling on to for dear life, but when the fact that other people disagree doesn't really matter. I would offer up the scone pronunciation question and the related matter of jam first or cream first as examples. Obviously, the correct answers are scone and cream first. You will never persuade me otherwise, but the fact that my wife disagrees is never going to lead us to actually fighting about it, because it doesn't matter. Opinions about fictional universes fall into this category. Finally, there are opinions that sort of fall between the two. Opinions that seem like they matter, but not on a level of asking questions in Parliament, and where our lived experience can inform those opinions, but no one is really going to have any real authority to determine right and wrong. My recent episode about the miniatures page falls into this category. I talked about it because it feels like it matters. But, on the other hand, it doesn't matter all that much, and people's various experiences of it are all real and valid. But none of them can be considered authoritative. So when it comes to TMP, I'm happy to say that I've made up my mind that it is a silly place, but I'm open to the idea that it could change, or I could be wrong. I know what I think, but I can imagine a universe in the future where I might think differently. And this week's discussion is of a similar ilk. Some manufacturers make miniatures that I tend to think, generally, no one should buy. I can understand why people do buy them. I can sense their appeal. Not, I suspect, unlike a Jedi might sense the call to the dark side. But I do tend to feel that, like the average Sith cultist, there may be something subtly wrong with the people who give in to the urge, or, worse still, don't even notice that there might be something wrong with buying them in the first place. Let's start with Battlefront and the Waffen SS. World War II happened. The SS and their militarised regiments of Waffen SS were a thing. I would literally go to the barriers to make sure that these facts and the atrocities that the SS perpetrated in the occupied territories and during the retreat to Berlin are never forgotten. And I recognise that creating a range of miniatures to support wargaming in Europe between 1944 and 1945 can hardly fail to acknowledge that the Germans were, like, quite an important part of that particular conflict. And yet, there is something deeply disturbing about someone who decides to play as the Waffen-SS in a wargame. I'm aware, of course, that playing their tactical role on the battlefield doesn't require one to endorse their morality. I'm also aware that other military forces in history, sometimes quite recent history, have perpetrated atrocities that wouldn't spark the same sense of disquiet, even if perhaps they ought to. Maybe it's the temporal proximity of World War II that survivors of the Waffen-SS's purges are still alive today. Maybe it's the geographical proximity. I could literally stand on the site of some of their grossest crimes in under 48 hours. Maybe it's just that post-war British and European culture has embedded the evil of the SS into our collective imaginations, above others just as awful, whilst at the same time the mythic narrative of World War II looms in our mind more than, say, the Serbian genocide or the Russian reinvasion of Chechnya. In theory, one could be a perfectly lovely person and still play a Waffen-SS army in bolt action or Flames of War. Of course one could. In theory. But if I think you're a lovely person, and then I find out that you play Waffen-SS, well, maybe it's irrational, but I'm going to think you're a less lovely person than I did before I knew that. We'll come back to the bigger question in a bit, but first I want to talk about Manufaktura miniatures. It should be said that, in a way, Manufaktura stand as a placeholder for at least one other miniatures manufacturer that I find so despicable I won't even name it. I don't place Manufaktura on that level, but they present some of the same problems. Manufaktura sells digitally designed resin cast 32 and 54 millimeter miniatures in a range of modern, fantasy and sci-fi styles, but they are best known for naked people, specifically naked space marines and naked sisters of battle. You can call them what you like, but everybody knows that's what they are. These can be found in their Sedition series. Whilst naked space warriors are an interesting call, the fact that they are naked is basically incidental to the characters. They also have a rather nice range of modern minis called Strife, but both of these are quite modest in scope. Manufaktura's largest range, by far, is their sub range. Now, I'm not going to go into the finer details of the BDSM world, it's not my world, but I'm a big fan of consenting adults being left alone to do what they want without judgment. The sub-range, though, is naked or semi-naked people, mostly young women, in various states of restraint and sexual posing. Whatever you feel about that, I hope you'll at least agree that this, as a range, is problematic. Frankly, I'm not sure why someone would buy these minis, but apparently they do, and in large numbers. I've seen painted examples that are objectively, beautifully rendered. But just like people who decide to play Waffen-SS in a World War II game, I can't help but feel like knowing someone owned one of these miniatures, or, heaven help me, several of them, would tell me something about that person that wouldn't reflect well on them. Certainly for my own part, there is exactly zero chance that I'm ever going to want to buy something from the manufacturer sub-range. It seems very unlikely that I'd ever want a Waffen-SS army. Closest I came to buying the Waffen-SS was the Vampire and British Chaplain Vampire Hunter minis from Warlord. And I'm pretty comfortable with that arrangement. Limbo Division, though. Like I said at the start, I can hear the call to the dark side, and Limbo Division has the loudest whispers. Limbo Division makes premium kits with an anime military sci-fi theme. They are all about sci-fi soldiers and the military mechs and battle suits that support them. They are digitally designed, resin cast. They are top-notch quality. And every single one of the soldiers in question is a heavily bosomed, improbably curvaceous young woman, unafraid of a uniform designed to give maximum evidence of her secondary sexual characteristics. Some of the clothes are so skimpy that you could probably see primary characteristics if you looked hard enough. As you know, if you followed this podcast for any length of time, I do love me some military sci-fi. I love a good mech. I'm also pretty cool about the anime aesthetic. I'm a Japanophile with a second degree black belt, and although I'm no anime fanatic, I grew up on Fist of the North Star and still enjoy My Hero Academia. These minis definitely call to me. However, ultimately, for all the trappings of weapons and uniforms and armour that ought to be a message of empowerment, they are still basically a gross sexualisation. Manufacturer is at least honest about its sexualisation. Its sedition line communicates pretty clearly that it is capable of nudity without sexualisation. And its sub-range, well, it's right there in the name. I might question the taste and judge the inner selves of their customers, but there's no dishonesty in what they're doing. Limbo Division stuff, though, feels creepily dishonest. Now, let me just re-emphasise that this is about my reaction to this stuff. There are other manufacturers who make some surprisingly weird minis, including Alternative Armies and EM4 miniatures, both of whom I generally rate. But in their case, although the range like Torture Chamber and Bikini Babes with Guns are obviously offensive, they are also laughably poorly sculpted, especially by comparison with modern works. They are more like the relics of an 80s teenager's fevered imagination. Time has made them into parodies of themselves that I can find distasteful but tolerable. I still wouldn't buy them, but I judge those who buy or sell them less harshly. Perhaps that's irrational, but that's how it seems to me. Also, this isn't about nudity. Only manufacturer's stuff in this list includes any nudity, and I see nothing wrong with their sedition range of nude minis. Other manufacturers like Hasselfree do minis with various levels of nudity. The real question, though, isn't whether a miniature or range of miniatures is or isn't problematic. Whether it is or isn't is going to be down to the judgment of the individual consumer. The real question is, when faced with problematic miniatures, what should we do? Now, the obvious answer is, well, don't buy it. And it was originally my position that this was enough. Buy other products from the same manufacturer, but don't buy the things you find problematic. It's dollar democracy. If enough people don't buy them, the company would surely not sell them. But this is what I meant about holding our opinions lightly, because I've been persuaded that in some cases, that's not enough, for two reasons. The first is because sales are fundamentally an endorsement of a business. If I don't like Nestlé's marketing of powdered baby milk, for example, it's insufficient to simply not buy that product if you want to effect a change. It is the whole product line that must be boycotted, from Shreddies to Kit Kats. Of course, a single customer will be no loss to a retail company, but the loss of even just dozens in a market as niche as wargaming is a significant message to communicate a need for change. The second reason is that in some cases the people involved in the company are simply not very nice people. If a product is obviously problematic, then it takes a particular kind of mind to want to sell it. Either one that is oblivious to the problem, or worse, one which recognises the problem but doesn't care because they know it will sell regardless. I should say though that I'm not calling for a boycott for any of these companies. This is especially true of Battleground. It would be ludicrous to market a World War II miniatures game and ignore the late war, or to have a late war range and to exclude the Waffen-SS. Some problematic products are less problematic than others. It is, like so many things, a spectrum. In this case, I guess all I'm saying is that the mistake would be to buy and play Waffen-SS without acknowledging and internalising the problematic aspects of that decision. You have to be prepared for some people to not want to play the army, or even to not want to play you at all, whatever your army. You have to accept that deciding to field this army comes with baggage. If you encounter this kind of resistance and dismiss it, ridicule it or reject it, then the problem isn't the army. Manufacturer and Limbo Division, meanwhile, well, what a geek gets up to in the privacy of their own hobby space is up to them. Maybe I'll give in to the dark side and get myself a Lancelot and Mistworn. The point is, though, that our purchasing decisions have consequences. Sometimes those consequences are unavoidable or unforeseeable. Modern life is ethically complex. But if we participate in this niche hobby of ours, we are closer to those consequences. And with our individual market share being proportionately much larger than it is in the wider retail space, our purchasing power has proportionately more impact. So, I've taken a lot of words to basically say, with great power comes great responsibility. Let's briefly look at what that means for Precinct Omega.
Precinct Omega.
Whilst I've highlighted some products that I think are problematic, it's important to be aware that wargaming in general is problematic by default. There are people who think that it trivialises violence or glorifies war. Certainly, when we are talking about games set within living history, such as Vietnam, the Falklands or Somalia, even World War II, we need to acknowledge the risk that people who are affected by or participated in these conflicts may not think that's appropriate. I could pretend that this is one of the reasons I focus on science fiction and fantasy, but it's really not. I just prefer sci-fi and fantasy to history as a leisure pursuit. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't play games with historic or even modern settings. We should just do it aware of their potential sensitivity. And it's the same with problematic products. If we sell them or buy them, we need to see and remain conscious of those problems. Sometimes that consciousness might move you to change something, but sometimes it won't. The only real failure for a business is to refuse to acknowledge it. When I first wrote the setting for Horizon Wars, I needed an inciting incident to spark conflict. Everywhere I looked, I found problems. Middle East? Obvious cliche. United States? Stereotyping. China? Overdone. My decision to pick my own country as the unilateral instigators of a Third World War was because it seemed so ludicrous to me that liberal Britain could do something so insane as to have a political leadership and population that thought invading France was a good idea. And then Brexit happened. So look, Precinct Omega starts from the assumption that its customers are fine with the whole simulated warfare with dice and toy soldiers thing. If you're not cool with that, you're probably not going to even contemplate being my customer, or indeed be listening to this podcast. But within the family of wargamers, everyone's perspective is different. People are going to be affected by different things. I am always open to listening. I am always willing to hear an argument about why this decision or that decision was the wrong one. And I always have one eye on the problematic elements of my own work. So, thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you again next week.
The Precinct I Made, a weekly miniatures news podcast, is supported by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/precinctomega to support the Patreon, developing new miniatures games and creating hobby content for Wargames miniatures enthusiasts all over the world.